Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope featuring Pastor Rick Womack.
mess. And he makes a message out of our mess for the masses. He comes into our mess, and he creates in your life a message that's not just for you, it's for the masses. The other thing that I like is I like the Christmas sounds. Now, honest story, I spent one Christmas from Thanksgiving, I think it's Thanksgiving Day, was Thanksgiving Day until Christmas Eve. Matt and Rachel may have done this, I'm not sure. Ringing bells for the Salvation Army, I see heads nodding. Salvation Army would come to Emmanuel College because we had such an extended break at that time. They would come and recruit students to be bell ringers, and they would usually put us up in a decent place. They made us a new waves. They gave us, they took care of us, okay? And I spent one month ringing bells from the day after Thanksgiving until Christmas Eve, until about 6 p.m. in Roanoke, Virginia, living in a homeless shelter above 60 guys who were homeless below me while I slept in a three-bedroom apartment. Let me just tell you, it was a real conflict of my heart because I realized Grace and I, in our, I won't say latter years, but Teresa and I have come to this place where we really just need giving gifts. Because we like to give gifts. And I like to see so many people with the intent of giving gifts. You know, I think there's something healthy about that. If I were on gay instead of took a lot more, I think it'd be a much better place, don't you? So I like the hustle and bustle, but I also like the slow down. The slow down where you prop your feet up with a cup of coffee in front of the fire. I like the Christmas pace. You know why I like it? Because it reminds me that there's a pace to this life. In some seasons that we run in, we're running wide open. And in some seasons that we're running in, we slow down. Growing up in Florida many years ago, I always loved to go out on Christmas Day, my new bike or whatever, and ride over to a friend's house. I'd go see Jerry, find out what Jerry got for Christmas. One of the things that was unique, it's different now because there are more vehicles, there's more people, but one of the things that was unique is there was hardly a car on the road. Growing up in Florida, when I grew up, you could do that. You could ride 2 or 3 miles to your friend's house and it would be okay. We don't do that so much anymore, Churchill. I like Christmas pace. But finally, I like the Christ child. And really, that's what it's about. It's about Jesus born in the manger, in the purity and the simplicity of a child born to set us free. There was a secular song. I'm still at 1426 because I paused it and I forgot to restart it, so that did no good this morning. I'm almost done, though. There was a song by a country artist a few years ago. Her name's Faith Hill. I want to read, and some of you have heard this song, and I promise you I'm not going to try to sing like Faith. And maybe you've never heard this song, but I want you to listen to the lyrics. It simply says, in its title, "The Baby Changes Everything." We've actually seen it. Jesse did a great job up here of depicting Mary. The baby changes everything. It says a teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. The baby changes everything. Not a ring on her hand, all her dreams and all her plans. The baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? The baby changes everything. And she cries, oh, she cries. It goes on to say, she has to leave, go far away. Heaven knows that she can't stay. The baby changes everything. She can feel that he's coming soon. There's no place, there's no room. The baby changes everything. And she cries, oh, she cries. Shepherds all gather around, up above the star shines down. The baby changes everything. Two more verses. Choirs of angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The baby changes everything. And I want to ask you to listen to this last verse. I want to ask you to inspect your life and allow the Holy Spirit to do an inventory of your life as I read this last verse. It's only 3 lines. But the lyric says, it's 4 lines, I'm sorry. My whole life is turned around. I was lost, but now I am found. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. Paul put it this way in the first chapter of Colossians, verses 19 and 20. He said, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. And through him, talking about Jesus, and through him, to reconcile, to bring to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That baby changes everything. History is defined by the birth of our Savior. Read 2 more verses, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Karen, can you come and play? There she is. Okay, she's here. Paul speaking in Colossians chapter 1 again, but a few verses before. In verse 13 and 14. is talking about, to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have this possibility of having a relationship with Jesus and living eternally. Jesus put it this way, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So this morning, if you don't know that abundant life, I want to give you that opportunity. It's really simple. All you need to do is make a decision in your heart. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to slip a hand up because I want to pray for you if you've made that decision or if you're making that decision. Because this is a big deal. Eternity is on the line. Understand what I'm saying right here and right now. Forever is on the line. Forever. Eternity is the decision that we're making right here on December 20th, 2015. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is a wonderful moment because I can promise you that you'll go through this season, this Christmas season, you'll wake up on Christmas morning and you will understand to the full extent that a baby really changed everything because a baby has changed you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a private moment. I want to ask you to slip your hand up if you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you to put your hand up. Put your hand up so that I can see you. Lift your eyes, make eye contact. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to do anything else. I just want to know if you need to make that decision because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody? Put your hand up real quickly. Anyone at all? Let me ask another question. Perhaps you're far from Christ this morning. Perhaps you gave your life to Him maybe at a vacation Bible school or a summer camp as a kid. But maybe you've strayed and you're pretty far from Him and it feels like God is distant from you. I simply want to say this to you. Turn around. He's right there. He is right there. And He's waiting on you, and He loves you. So if you're far from Christ this morning, and you even say to me, Pastor Rick, this morning, I need to make a recommitment. I need to make a decision that I am, in fact, going to live my life for Christ. I'm not going to live in shadows anymore. If that's you, would you put your hand up real quickly? Thank you. Anyone else? I want to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray. Karen, can we sing this song? Okay. Don't leave because when you come back, I'm going to sing this and give this a word of instruction about lunch. I love you, pray. Father, thank you for hands lifted, for hearts that are willing to say, I need to surrender. I need to come back. I've played in the shadows. I've hidden too long. And this morning on December 20th, I am making a decision with my heart. I am counting the cost fully, and I am recommitting my life to Christ. And so God, I pray for every hand that was lifted, that God, you would fill them with fullness, and that joy that Ben talked about earlier, that joy would take root, and that by the Holy Spirit's power, and the Holy Spirit's activity, you would fill their life with your joy, with your hope, with your peace, God, with your love. I thank you for the baby that changed everything. Thank you, Lord, that you give good gifts to your children. Thank you, Lord, that you have given the greatest gift in your Son, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. 2:13. Suddenly a great community of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven on earth, peace, and to those whom he favors rest." Luke 2:14.
Moms and dads for driving the kids back and forth and getting them here early on Wednesday nights and all the extra practices. Thank you again, Julie and Heather and Miss Karen. Would you give them, those ladies, a round of applause? There's a little bit of transition that needs to take place, so I'm going to let Justin, you guys come on up and get whatever needs to be put in place in place. And if I could get our ushers to come up at this time. Thank you for giving, and let me just mention, you can give online, mountaingap.church. It's a web address you can get through Connectmeet if you're traveling any during the holidays. Also, just wanted to remind you, I probably mentioned this from time to time, you can connect with us on the web or on Facebook, all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can just search for Mountain Gap, and you'll find the information there. And let's see. A couple more people I need to appreciate this morning. I'm going to come back and talk about the meal in just a moment. But when you see Darcy Reinagle and her family and Joy Garner and her family, would you just give an appreciation to them? They worked hard to prepare the lunch for today, prepare the Beverly Life Center. It looks beautiful over there. And we're excited about it. But let me pray. And you guys, if you need much more time, or are you about set? You're about set. Okay, so we're going to pray. You guys just hang on for a second so they can receive the offering, and then we'll go from there. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the gift, again, of your son, Jesus. And as we return gifts and tithes and bring offerings into the storehouse today, Lord, we do so with a cheerful heart because we have Christ and because we have hope through him. And Lord, I ask you now to use these resources and every resource in our hand and in our life, Lord, to advance the cause of your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While they're receiving the offering, I'm going to talk just for another minute or two. I'm going to come back in just a few minutes and share just a short teaching this morning. I'm not going to really preach, but how many of you enjoy the Christmas season? I think that Jennifer touched on this, and I appreciate her for saying this. This is a a season that is filled with a lot of emotions. For some people, it's a very sad and difficult time, understandably so. Some people have lost loved ones around this season, this time of the year. And it makes it challenging. Others, perhaps this year, this is the first Christmas without someone who you love in your life. And that makes it equally as challenging. It makes it tough. And so as we go through this this season, I want to kind of remind you of one of the things that we're doing at Mountain Gap Church. We're doing an Advent candle. We're going to come in a little bit and have a family come light that and share some scripture and pray for us. The reason why we're doing this is to slow us down. Because everything in this season in the world pushes us to speed up and to go for more and more and more. And we really just need to pull it back some. We just need to remember the reason for the season. It's a cliche, but it's never an old cliche.
today we're gonna talk a little bit about joy. And a lot of times I think that we get joy confused sometimes with happiness, excitement, or fun things. And so hopefully this morning we can read some scriptures and talk about some things that will help us clarify that in our minds. So Abby, you're going to read first. And what scripture are you reading, honey? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Levi's first. Galatians 5:22. See how quick he turns to it. I mean, this is what happens, guys, when you get your kids in the Word. They can flip right to this stuff and get right to it. All right, Levi, Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Good job. So we know that joy is the fruit of what? The Spirit. So then the question becomes, how do we walk by the Spirit, right? So, one thing, kids, that when I think about walking by the Spirit, I think, okay, all these things that I have to do, I've got to make sure that I'm in the Word. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? So, in order to renew our mind, if we don't renew our mind, then what's going to fill our mind? The things that we're in every day, the world, the things that we're in. So we transform our mind by getting into the Word of God, right? But that's kind of confusing sometimes, and a lot of us sometimes, we don't make time to get into the Word of God, do we? Raise your hand if you make time every day to get into your mind. Y'all are retired. She's retired. That doesn't count. My point is that sometimes we don't prioritize it like we should. But I think sometimes as believers, too, that we feel like there's a list of rules and stuff. We have to do this. And sometimes we get caught up in legalism. And so, one thing that Eddie made us memorize the scripture when we were really little, and it was, pray without ceasing in everything you think. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, that's one way that we can learn to walk by the Spirit. Reading God's Word, getting into His Word, and praying always. Giving thanks in every situation. Parents, if you can teach your kids one thing, teach them to be grateful and thankful. And teach them how to talk to the Lord. I talked to the kids tonight, and I say, you know, now that you're getting older, you need to learn to just talk to Jesus. You don't need to always wait until Daddy comes in to pray with you. But while you're laying in your bed, and you're going throughout the day, learn to talk to Jesus. Stay in constant communication with Him. Create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit dwells. So, I don't want to get too far into that because, all right, Matt, all the graduates from Emmanuel, if you guys know who I am, I'll just say that when I was looking up the Greek word for joy this morning, I pronounced it chaga. It's not chaga. There's no ch sound in the Greek language. It's silent. It's chaga. And why that is so important is that it comes from the Greek word for grace, which is chare. And so, when you think of it that way, grace is a gift of God. It's given from God. And joy is the same way. Joy is not something that we can fabricate or that we can put on. We can't do that. It's a gift of God. And it comes only through the Holy Spirit. And so, if it comes from the Spirit of God, why do we as believers so many times try to find our joy in our relationships with our wives, our relationships with our kids, in things, in God? We look for joy. And so I just want you to really, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear me, that try to separate joy from the things that we think bring us joy. Because we all know that those things don't bring us true joy. They might bring us happiness for a little while, but they don't bring us joy or a peace that passes all understanding. So our next scripture is, Abby, you got it, Romans 15:13, okay? Context of that is something. Michael said, he has never, not once, has God ever let me down. Has God ever let any of you down? He hasn't. He's faithful. And the trials that we go through in our lives teach us to trust Him more. And we go to Him in the midst of those trials. So be faithful. Okay? He practices that. What's one way, Caleb, that we can walk by the Spirit?
Be faithful.
What's one way that we can walk by the Spirit?
Pray always.
Pray always. Be faithful. Alright, so we got one more scripture and then I'll be done. Unless, Patrick, you want me to just go ahead and preach? I just think it's really important. And some of you have heard some of my testimony, but in my earlier years, I really felt like if I could follow this outline, you know, I'll be a teacher for X amount of years, then I'll get an assistant principal job, then I'll become principal. Then I'll be able to buy this, and I'll be able to buy this. I'll have a little land, I'll have some cows, and then I will have arrived, and everything will be A-OK in my life. And you know what? If I strive for those things, emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. The only thing that can bring us complete happiness and true joy is by living for Jesus, having a love relationship with Him. All right, so one more. One more, and my best reader up here is going to read that, and that's my wife, Sarah. Sarah, Isaiah 65. pray for an anointing, a fresh anointing to fall in our home this holiday season. God, I pray that for those that are hurting, God, right now, that, Lord, that you would just help them, Lord, to look to you. And, God, the promises in your word, God, of that eternal hope, Lord, that they would hold on to those promises. And that your joy would be over the Lord.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.